It's like crazy. You know what I mean? I love this.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Michelle, this is a great opportunity for me. You are, I like to think you're Wonder Woman. You know, you were.
What a way to start an interview.
So you run your own marketing company. You are, I mean, I'm just trying to list, you know, your accomplishments here. It's incredible. I mean, I don't have a list long enough here. You're an independent political consultant. You're a realtor as well. So you're pretty much conquering everything. I mean, is there something that you don't do?
I mean, we'll see. I've still got a long list to go, so we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. So guys, welcome to the show. We have Michelle Box here. And Michelle, I kind of just wanted to let the audience know who you are. So if you kind of just wanted to introduce yourself, what you do, and yeah, we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Michelle Box, and I run Boxbury, which is a marketing and business development firm. So basically, our mission is to help decrease small business failure rates, since most small businesses do fail within 5 years. So we literally take a small business and we talk to them and we say, hey, like, let's go through everything. Let's talk about your pricing. Let's talk about your marketing. Let's talk about your sales process, and make sure that they're really good to go and solid, so they can get back to what they actually want to do and why they started their business.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so important, because there's like a great statistic out there, I think, and you can correct me, it's like 90% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. And yeah, it's really, I mean, there's so many different areas that a small business can fail in. Is there like, I guess for me, because I'm a business owner, 2015 is when we, you know, when my partner started the business and I got attached to that. So it's like, we're, you know, thankfully, knock on wood, we're going to be, you know, we're going to be over the hump and survive. But like, are there any trends that you can see, like, hey, it's communication, or hey, it's sales, it's not, you know, getting enough revenue, or hey, it's like the process or organization? Because like, I'm interested in that. There's always, I guess, that one concrete thing that makes a business fail that
right,
you can generalize. Yeah.
So the big thing is revenue. You've got to have it, obviously, or you've got to have some sort of funding or capital or something to be able to move forward, or it's going to handicap you and you're not going to be able to grow. The biggest thing coupling with that is also the pricing and the margins. So in, you know, real estate, as you know, you get the real estate commissions, there tends to be a hefty amount of margin in there, but a lot of businesses don't have the margins. And if you don't have the margins, then it's going to be really, really hard to grow and to scale long-term.
Yeah. And that's really hard too for people, especially during the coronavirus. I mean, I've been very fortunate as of you, especially that, because I'm going to get my realtor's license probably next year, hopefully, knock on wood. And it's just a great industry, because, you know, with digital coupled with real estate, we're in two of the most, I mean, safest markets really for right now, especially, I don't know how it is in Kansas City, but if you're in Philadelphia, properties are flying off the market. It is incredible right now. So it's, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, because Kansas City, isn't it, it's more, I guess, like a liberal political city. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's weird, because Missouri, or Kansas City, is surrounded by like other rural parts of Missouri that are much more Republican. And then you have, you know, Kansas City that tends to be, you know, a little bit more liberal leaning. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of how Philly is, right? Well, I don't want to say that, because PA is more blue state than it is red.
Sure.
I could go on with our mayor for hours. He's pretty crazy. In terms of like your experience with like, and I want to touch on this, because, you know, we have a couple months for the election. For you being a political consultant, tell me a little bit more about that, because that must have been pretty robust in the kind of sense of, especially during these times, you know, because it's just, I mean, it would be flourishing in that kind of industry. I mean, it doesn't matter who the president is, who, you know, you're trying to elect, if it's, because my mom is a supervisor of our township, and although that's like a local municipality, you know, we are, you know, she is serving a purpose there, as is the president. But it's really cool to see those two different sides of the coin, you know what I mean? So I'd love to learn more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So for anyone that doesn't know, my background in politics, I actually started working in politics when I was 15 years old. And so my first election was interning in a presidential election. And then from there, I went on and continued to staff like various campaigns just all the way through. I was actually offered a job in DC when I turned 18 to go off. But instead of doing that, I tended to be a little bit more independent. And so I kept doing things kind of my own way. And so would travel a lot. And I worked in campaigns in Tennessee. I taught kids about Congress in DC. I worked in campaigns, obviously, here in Kansas City. But I lived in Kentucky for 8 years, and I did a ton of campaign work there. So a lot of what I would do, I started becoming a campaign manager, where I would oversee everything. So one campaign that I worked on in general, we literally, so it was a primary election, which means it's like the one side of the party, right? So, so it's one side of the party, and the person we were running against happened to be appointed by the governor. And so it was already kind of a tough person to go up against. But on top of that, he was endorsed by a congressperson in the area. And we were like, okay, let's do this. And so we created this whole plan, and we ended up winning 42 out of 45 precincts in that election. Wow. And that's the stuff I live for.
So what's your, like, because I can never like conceptualize a whole campaign, because like we're both in marketing, but is it just kind of, you need to adjust your strategy a little bit to, I guess, where you're turning into dollar signs, you're turning into votes, right?
Right.
So like, what's your main process with that? Like, how is it, because especially for me, you know, in terms of the primary, I'm independent, man. I lean a little more right, but you know, we have Biden out here and we have Trump, and it's just like, it doesn't we always go to the same mantra of like, oh, we just have to pick the lesser of two evils. Isn't that always how it is?
A lot of people.
So it's just like, if you're managing one of those campaigns, well, I guess like, what's like your strategy? Is it, cause like Trump is in Philly, and like Philly, you know, they're going to vote blue regardless. So I don't know why he was here. It's just like, it's very fascinating to me, like about like the whole process. So yeah, like talk to me more about that.
Yeah. Okay. So when I sit down with the candidate, so what's so interesting, first of all, is, one thing I always think about with politics is it really matters what region you're campaigning to. And that's what makes it such a big deal for a presidential election. Cause you're having a campaign to multiple different regions at once. Right. And they're hearing all the news. So, but you know, if you're in like just one state, for example, you're literally thinking, okay, where am I at? And so with Kentucky, it's much more southern. You've got Appalachia there, Tennessee, even more southern, but Kansas City is Midwest. And so how they all think, how they all talk, what appeals to a voter there is going to be different than what appeals to a voter somewhere else. And so you have to think about that with strategy. But it really is so much, I describe it, it's literally like getting a startup off the ground, but you have one day to make all your sales, which is votes and election day. And so it's like everything. You just sit there and you're like, okay, like let's talk about branding. Let's talk about, you know, how you need to come across. Let's talk about how many voters we have. How many people do we need to reach? How many do we need to turn out to the polls? How many times do we need to hit them so they convert? And just going through all of that, who's the most likely to vote for us? And just going through that whole strategy and creating exactly how we're going to hit them and how many times is a key component of it.
Yeah, that's really robust. I mean, and it's so true. You have different states, and it's, you know, some states are not that far apart. I mean, I forget the one place where you can literally, I think it's like maybe there, it's like Arizona and leading into Nevada, where you like, you can stand in one point, you can literally see all four states. But it's really, it boggles my mind how people can think differently, like just have a massive, you know, different appeal. And, you know, like what, like 60 to 100 miles. I mean, it goes back to history and, you know, really what this country was founded upon. And I definitely love to ponder that. I mean, especially in today's presidential election. I mean, I think Biden's up like, what, 10% in the polls right now. Vegas has it 50-50. Vegas is like, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen yet. It's going to be so interesting, right? Because again, it doesn't matter. I had my friend Rob Nolan on, who was saying, you know, all news for the most part is obviously they stick to one agenda. So they're always going to tell you, Fox is going to tell, oh yeah, Trump's climbing, or CNN's going to say, oh yeah, Biden's way ahead, Trump is no.
Right.
So it's like controlling that narrative is so important. I mean, that's why, you know, Jeff Bezos was so smart to buy, you know, the Washington Post when he could, because you control that narrative. And if you have something like that at your disposal, I mean, that's key. I mean, that's something that we struggle right now with momentum is PR, especially. And it's so valuable in today's day and age, because yeah, we have the ads, we have the SEO, but just concrete articles, man. That is really what works, and word of mouth in particular too. And kind of transitioning to your agency, you know, when did you start it? Like when? Because this is something that, again, it's like Wonder Woman. I mean, my mom would love you. Like, you guys have to connect sometime, because she is wanting to like get her own marketing company started up. Like I said, she's a supervisor, and she's also going to get a real estate license pretty soon. So she wants to be, she wants to like idolize you and just be, just mimic you. I mean, it's fantastic. So yeah, talk a little bit about your agency and all about that.
So yeah, I'll tell how I started it. So, okay. Yeah. So I was selling real estate full time for 5 years, but also I was running political campaigns too. So running political campaigns is like two full time jobs.
Yeah,
real estate is like one full time job. I like to work a lot. And so, so basically I realized that with real estate for me personally, I had done it full time for 5 years and I needed a new challenge. And so I actually took off the summer of 2018 and I traveled all over the country. Just would pick a new city every week and would just hop on a plane and go, sometimes with like 2 hours notice, and just go.
That's so awesome. I love that.
So fun. And I would like a lot of times not know anyone in that city, and I would meet people along the way. And it ended up being such an eye-opening experience for me. So like, you know, I had a friend, you know, in NYC, I had briefly met him in Lexington, and he worked at a startup, and I got to walk through just the coolest co-working space of all these tech startups that were up and coming in NYC, massive funding, and just seeing what they were working on. And it just started to get my wheels turning. Sure. And then, you know, I went to San Francisco and like, you know, walked through like all the startups there, just like seeing all of their offices and just like just breathing all of that in. And so I realized that I wanted to do something in the business startup realm. I knew that, but I didn't know what. And so in February last year, 2019, I just basically started thinking, okay, what am I good at? Like, what am I really good at? And started like creating a list of stuff. And then I was like, okay, what do people need? And like, what do startups need? What do small businesses need? And I started going through Instagram, and I was like, okay, like these small businesses really need help, because I can tell they're not using their Instagram to make sales. And in my real estate business, since I grew up in Kansas City, I only knew like about pretty much one person when I got my real estate license in Kentucky. And so that makes it really hard to sell real estate. So I literally had to learn how to use social media to my advantage. I used how to network through LinkedIn. I would take people out to coffee all the time. I would be getting on relocation lists. I would be doing all kinds of things. And so I was like, okay, well, I already know how to do all of this. I pulled myself up and already did it once and started over in a brand new city. Like, I can definitely help these people and these businesses. So I sent 10 Instagram messages out to just 10 small businesses in Kentucky. And I was like, hey, you know, and just saying like, you know, I feel like you really are missing out on sales by not leveraging your Instagram account. And they said, well, they didn't say at first, but so I sent the message out, and I actually went to dinner because I was like, okay, nobody's gonna respond. It's 10 messages. Like, statistically, probably not gonna get anything.
Right.
And then an hour and a half later, I had 3 messages back from people that were interested. A week later, I was generating revenue. So then from there, I just kept on, you know, getting clients. I, have had contractors that help me implement, and we've had salespeople. We just keep on, you know, just growing. And so the first year we ended up working, with about 100 businesses. Not all of them were, you know, retainer basis or long-term, but some of them was just like one-off phone calls. But I really wanted to get as many businesses as possible, because it would give me a sample size of what everybody needed. So then it just started out as marketing, and now it's moved into completely business development as well, because I realized that was a massive need that I could help with for small businesses.
That's amazing, because you hear about the trials and tribulations of people that are just starting up, and it's just, oh my God, we can't get any clients. And then for you, it's like, you know, where you just had this spark. And take me back to the trip. Like, when you were going out, is this something where you like to put yourself in those situations that, oh, I don't know anybody? Like, for me, I love that too. Like, when I don't know anybody at a party, I love that, because I can, it's, there has to be some sort of like psychology about it where you don't know anybody and you can kind of, it's like a canvas, right? Like a blank canvas, like an artist goes in, like, or someone who has made a bunch of music and it's like, all right, we're going to start fresh. here's a new beat and we're going to like sing to it. You know, we're going to rap. It's like that, where you can kind of draw out and create your own little model. And I think it's a great way to develop, you know, new, not, you know, be a fake person, but new personality and your new kind of soul in a way that, you know, maybe you were not confident before, or you, you know, lack certain things that, you know, people would say, oh, you need to have this to be legitimate in business. And it's just a great way to work on it. It's like, I, you know, someone who's developing stand-up, and they go up there and talk, and they don't know, you know, again, it's a different crowd every single night that someone's on the road. So it's amazing. I mean, when we were first starting out, you know, I'll tell you the story, and people know this by now, but for you, I was an intern for the company I now own. And, you know, we went through periods where we were making, you know, five times what we're making like right now. And we had to lay off people and, you know, configure our strategy. But I really think that at the fundamental core of business, you need to fail often and fail early and grow and see that as it is. And a lot of people, again, you know, some people don't even try, but you need to try and fail. And people are so afraid of failure. I'll fail 100% of the time. I don't care. Well, not 100% of the time, but like I'll fail 99% of the time to get that, you know, to get that 1% of success. Like Gary Vee, I'm sure you know him. He has a great mantra where it's like, you know, everyone's trying to be 16-0, 17-0 out here. And I'm trying to be like 120-80. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm going to obviously have, you know, a couple losses on my record, but we're going to have more wins. And that's just, that's the truth of it. So I know that was a long-winded question, but yeah, like what was your, I guess, thought process of traveling?
Yeah, I do a lot of things for the story. So yeah. A lot of times I'm like, okay, like, let's go do this crazy out there thing for the story. Or, and I'm just so, yeah, there you go, do it for the gram. Yeah. I'm just so fascinated too by people and by their stories, and so I could just talk to people for hours, and I'm very extroverted anyway, so yeah, so just traveling like that. And like, I mean, I would love like walking into bars or walking into like, you know, just wherever and just start up a conversation. Like I remember I had this really fascinating conversation with this guy in Boston at the Cheers bar there. And
I've been there. Okay.
Yeah. And so I just like sat and talking to him. I was like, tell me everything. And then on top of that, like they tell you where all the good food is. Cause like they know they live there.
Yeah, they should give you the hookup.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, like, I just think it's so interesting to do that. And I just want to make sure I really, like, just saw all over the US. And a part of it too, I was just like, okay, I kept on feeling like Kentucky wasn't going to be for me long term. Sure. And I was like, okay, well, where else would I potentially want to live? So that was a big motivation too. But yeah, just meeting the people along the way. And as to what you said about the failure aspect, like you said, it is kind of a psychology thing of just, you know, being able and being willing to just go in and being okay with the failure of it. What I say to people all the time is the best thing that can happen to you when you start a business is to like make no revenue for like 6 months. And everyone's like, oh, you're insane. But here's what I mean.
Crazy. Yeah.
Crazy. Here's what I mean. Okay. So I watched this happen in real estate, right? So people in my office, when I first started out, like the first year, I sold something really small, like 5 or 6 houses, okay, because I didn't know very many people, but it forced me to learn systems that caused me to triple my business. So the next year, I ended up selling actually something like 20, 21 houses and got to speak at the National Association of Realtors conference on how I did it. But there's people in my office who knew a lot of people in the area and they just started booming right away. Well, here's what happens when you're booming right away. Inevitably, like a slow period comes and you don't know how to prospect. You don't know how to make money. You don't know what to do. And so it's actually a gift to have the time to create all of the systems, because then you're going to actually be able to explode and like stay and have the staying power long term when things aren't good. Like, you know, when a global pandemic hits the planet. So
yeah, right. Yeah, we're still in September and it's, you know, there's no stand-up comedy. There's no, I mean,
you like stand-up comedy too?
Yeah, there's like a drive-in theater or whatever, but yeah, like there's no fans anywhere and it's crazy. I mean, you know, and the thing that I really dislike about the political aspect right now is like with the media saying, oh, like some people are crunching the numbers and the numbers are fake, and it's just, take it for what it is. Yeah, like it's a little worse than the cold, not as bad as SARS, but we still need to be careful. I mean, you definitely still need to be careful. And that's so true. I mean, the systems that we use now, and Jeff Bezos is a great, you know, line. He says, it's always day one at Amazon. We're always looking to expand and we're always looking to grow. And you have that mentality where you always have to question the protocol. You always have to question, is this the correct way to do things? Because, and I tell my, you know, photographers, so how we have the business for 360 for the virtual tour company is we have salespeople and we have contractors. And I tell them both when I hire them, I'm like, listen, I like to make the analogy of we're all pulling a sled, but I'm at the front of this motherfucker. I'm at the front of I'm pulling this thing. I'm not on some, you know, grandiose throne, ha ha ha, just, you know, saying, you know, just cracking the whip. I'm out there pulling it first. And if you come to me and say, hey, Sean, this process for sales, you know, we've done this script before. We've done this, these ad groups. We've done this email marketing campaign, and it's just not working. And the same thing for photographers. Hey, you know, this Matterport stuff, it's not the best software. There's another better software out there. I'll listen to that 100% of the time. And I think you need to be open and transparent because, like, I just turned 23 in July. So obviously I am very green to the game. Most of the people that I interact with are 5 years older than me, you know, 6 years. And
yeah,
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being that young person who's just being a sponge, who's just absorbing and growing. Because at the end of the day, you know, what do you have left but to just try and fail and learn and grow? And listen, if you try to do something and it doesn't work, then that's totally okay. You're not a failure. You need to just place that. And it's all about the utilization. If you're going to really just understand and grasp that, then it's so true. I mean, we had a partner who she was about to join us, right, last summer, and she backed out. So we were like, all right, what are we going to do? And the founder originally, Mac Frederick, who I want to have on the show, but he's, you know, God, he's just as busy as I am. He was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? He's had this happen like twice already. So at this point, we're like, what the hell's going to happen? And we were at the Capitol Grill, a really nice place in Philadelphia. It was my birthday. And we did this like little wine tour, right? Where we went over to, you know, California metaphorically. And we had like, I think like Chardonnay. Then we went to Venice and we had some nice red wine and then we went to France and I was wrecked at the end of the dinner. I was like, oh my God, it was a great night. And he was like, listen, man, I want to make you partner for the company. And, you know, I was 21 at the time. I was like, I literally just turned 21 and I was like, are you kidding me? Like I was flabbergasted.
Amazing. But
the first thing that hit me was, it's not going to be all glit and glamour. We're going to go through the, you know, the grapevine, so to speak. And we're going to go through that stress period. But it's just, you know, and people can put on social media all they want is like, oh, like, look at this, you know, 35K that I just generated. And it's great and everything, but you don't know, you know, the story behind that. And
yeah,
that's why I want to keep my story as transparent as possible, but not show too much. I mean, there's people who are like showing their account balance and
yeah,
you know, I'm just like, come on, man. Like, I have one person in Philly who he's a great guy. I'm not gonna throw him under the bus, but he's I'm like, man, you have to like keep that a little private, like, cause you know what I mean, like, cause why would you release that? I don't understand it, you know.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I think what's interesting about everything that you just said, when you're talking about like the vulnerability and the transparency of it, like and I was just thinking about that too. I really want people to realize like how many ups and downs there really are in entrepreneurship. And they're really, you know, like we can talk, like the victories are fun to talk about, like, oh, hey, look at me, I'm so great. But, you know, there's a lot that goes behind the scenes and there's a lot. I mean, I was reading something the other day, just in terms of, you know, the average entrepreneur's like mental health and like, you know, what, and partially like an entrepreneur's mental makeup, we tend to be a little bit more, I'm trying to think of the right words. Paranoid would probably be one of them. Yeah, crazier. Like we're a little bit more paranoid. We're a little more, like we're always like thinking of what's next. My brother and I were talking about that. My brother's an entrepreneur too. And we were just talking about that the other day.
We all have that anxiety, yeah.
Yeah, it's that constant anxiety. He's like, you have to remember people, we were talking about like a personal situation. And he's like, you have to remember people don't process as fast as us because we literally do this all day long.
Yeah.
And so, but there really is that real part of it, of the ups and downs of it that really does, you know, it can take a toll for sure. And you've just got to like you said, keep the right mindset. Like you're not failing, you're learning, and to keep, like, how fast can you keep moving? How fast can you get up? How fast can you keep going? But just remember anybody that you see online is going through it too. And everybody has different levels of going through it. But I think I think it's been so great, or not great for them, but great for everyone else to see how many businesses during the global pandemic that are really big businesses, ones that you think have tons of reserves and are totally good to go. So many of them have hit their credit limits. So many of them are struggling, and it's like no one is immune. This is business. Like you're never going to hit this point where it's going to be so perfect all of the time, because you're going to just keep hitting new levels, and every new level is going to have its challenges with it. And you can always slide back a few levels, and it's just the game, and to not take it personally.
Like, and that goes for the happiness part of it too, because when you were doing your political thing in real estate, you're like, man, you know, and like you were saying, you know, at the start of the podcast, you're like, I want to level up. I want to do something a little more. And I totally get that. You know, I was an engineer in college the first semester, and I'm like, huh, I'm not that good at math. Why am I, why am I trying to be an engineer? I don't even know calculus. What the hell am I doing here? And I was like, this is ridiculous. I can never see myself, but I just saw that dollar sign, right? I saw, oh my God, I'm going to make 80 grand per year getting out of college. I'm going to be 23. Oh my God. And I started like, you know, my fingers were tingling. I was like, oh my God, I can smell the money now. But I was short-sighted. I said, okay, I'm going to make 80 grand here, but that wasn't doing what you love. It's not only is it more joyous, but it fulfills your soul so much more. I hate to be like cliche, but it's so true. You know, you do what you love, and you're going to want to work as hard as you possibly can. And this is love. I mean, this isn't even work for me. You know what I mean? This is just talking to you and then sharing the energy and then, you know, helping my clients. And I'm sure you feel the same way too. It's, you go so much farther in business that way, because it's not like you hit, oh my God, we just hit $1 million in revenue. That's crazy. I'm going to pay myself this big check. It's not that. It's doing the day to day. And sure, you want to obviously, you know, transition to a model where it's, you know, more passive. You can go on vacation, whatnot, but you don't hit this one point. And like, I don't know, I have people who are like mentors that are like 50 and 60. So I'll have to ask them this question as well. But maybe there's a point where, oh my God, I hit this point and it's it. You know, I hit eternal happiness. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It doesn't happen. It's a fugazi. It's a fugazi. It doesn't exist. You know, it's the journey that's joyous. It's the journey of the day to day and the crazy ups and downs. And it's just, you know, you have that mentality going into, you know, whether you want to be a doctor, whether you want to be an engineer, a lawyer, a business owner, if you're crazy enough to have the guts to sacrifice, you know, all of this time and energy, because like I'm sure you've, you know, as a, you know, very aspiring woman, you're like, oh my God, I want to go to all these parties and meet these people and go out for drinks. I mean, I have the same kind of mantra, but you have to sacrifice it. You have to take those days and put them invested into the company, because, you know, those days are ultimately what's going to get you ahead. And for me, I love it. I mean, I would, you know, I'm an old man at heart. I really am. But, you know, I really am. You can talk to my mom. You can talk to my parents, my girlfriend. I'm an old man at heart. And they'll say, you know, like, Sean, why don't you go out and, like, you know, have a little bit of fun? What are you doing? Like, cooped up work. And I'm like, trust me, there is some time where, you know, you have to go have, you know, go out. And I'm not like some crazy person who's working, you know, constantly. You know, I would crash. But, you know, I am doing what I love. So it's that continuous joy that, oh, I don't mind doing this. I in fact, this is my calling. I love this stuff. So it's so awesome to see someone who shares the same thing. I mean, it's tremendous.
I have like gotten made fun of for so long by my friends, you know, even like in my early 20s, because like, you know, I'm the person that will like be in the office at 10 p.m. or like, you know, I'll be there, you know, on Friday night sometimes. And, you know, and I actually have like a lot of really wild stories of a lot of parties and a lot of fun things too. But to me, work is always just primary, because it's something I love. But the one thing I want to touch on too, and you kind of touched on it, is we live in a world that likes to say, or likes to make it seem like we have to have it all figured out, or that we have to like make a decision and stick to it. And that is not a way to live, in my opinion. Like, you're allowed to always change your mind on anything at any time, because we are changing throughout our entire lives. So, and you're growing throughout your entire lives. And if you're not, if you're stagnant your whole life, like that's a problem and you should really look into it. And like we're changing. So you know what, like real estate for a while was really great for me. And then I was like, okay, you know what, what's the next challenge? And now it's, what's so interesting too, is the other side of that as well, is like, I have ideas in my mind of like what's in the future, right? But I've always been such a big believer that when, like, if there's a gap between where I am now and like what I want to be, which there should be, like of what I want to be, or what I want to accomplish next or do next, or what the next business is, or what the next endeavor is. Like, I just have faith that at the right time, I'm going to put in the work now. I'm going to grow to like the best, closest version I can of that person now. But at the right time, the right people are going to be put into my life. The right situations will be put into my life to make that next dream and that next goal a reality. And that literally is happening to me right now. You know, I've had an idea for something for a really long time. I can't talk about it entirely yet, but I've had an idea of something for a long time. And out of nowhere, this mentor who's, you know, has a lot of connections in Cali and with venture capital and so forth, he found me on Instagram and now he's mentoring me. Like, you just never know what is gonna happen next, but always having that faith that you're gonna be guided to the next thing. And then also just learning to be, like you said, enjoy the journey. Be happy right where you're at right now, which is really hard, and I really struggle with that. I think any forward thinking person struggles with that. But being like really happy and being like, you know what, I am grateful for exactly where I'm at right now. There was a time where I dreamed that I would be exactly where I'm at right now. It may not look exactly the same like I thought it would, but I'm here, and that's a really amazing thing.
So I'll tell you an exact story of how I had a perfect vision of, oh, this is exactly, because, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, we have to accept what it is. We have to accept, you know, responsibility. But I had such a perfect, you know, vision of myself that I was like, I have to stick to this. If I don't, then it's a problem. So I was in college about a year ago. So literally, you know, it was September 2019. And I had, you know, my first real panic attack, right? You ever have a panic attack before?
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, like, and my dumbass, I was taking a kinesis class at the time, and I had a heart rate monitor. So I was like, huh, like, I don't know. And I put it around, like, how Conor McGregor and, like, a lot of athletes, they put it around their stomach, and you can see, like, what the heart rate is. I was like, huh, this is really weird. I'm literally in my bed, and my heart rate's, like, 145. So I was like, I would be all out, like, sweating right now. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, am I having a heart attack? And you just go down that deep hole of just nothingness. It's the worst feeling that I've ever had in my life, probably for you too. And that all compounded into just like this whole long-term stretch of anxiety. And I was prescribed Ambien for sleep. I was sleeping 2 hours a night for like 5 weeks. 5 weeks I was getting, you know, just 2 hours of sleep. That 2 hours literally was that Ambien just knocking me out. Like, just, it was like Mike Tyson, just like, you know, knocking me out cold for a couple hours because my body just needed it. But I was so anxious, and I had to, you know, have everything so perfect in my life that I couldn't sit back and, one, be grateful, but two, understand that I can still have a vision of what I want to become, but I have to accept through God, through life, through other circumstances, that I'm doing not only the best that I can do, but there might be some changes along the way that will happen, and you have to adapt. So now, happily, and thank God, because I was, you know, you would have talked to me, you know, Michelle, 12 months last year, and you would have been, oh my God, Sean, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, you're looking like you're 35. Like, are you getting enough sleep? Like, I was a mess. But you start to become grateful, and you start to really, you know, just get those concrete values. And that's really it. I mean, it seems simple that we're talking about it, but that's because we've really discovered, you know, who we are as people, and we've, you know, put in the work, and we, like, mentally and for our business too. And we understand, okay, this is where we're at now. And we're always aspiring to be, you know, the best version of ourselves. But we also have to understand that we're grateful for what we have at this point. So it's a little bit of give and take, you know. You have to walk that tightrope, and that's the biggest thing that I can really tell, you know, these young entrepreneurs. So let me ask you, you're on the hot seat. So 5 years or however long, you know, you think, what do you ultimately, you want your legacy to be?
Wow. Good question. It's something I think about a lot, and it's something I'm still forming. I'm 27, and I think I want some of my legacy to be however it looks. Like, I really want to deeply impact people. Like, I don't want to shallowly impact. Like, I want to, and I want it, even if it's just a few people, I just so firmly believe in the ripple effect. Like, when I write an Instagram post, I'm like, God, like, let this hit just one person, like, let it, like, impact deeply one person. So I think, however that looks, you know, what I love about my firm right now is, like, you know, we're focusing on small businesses, and these small businesses, like, you know, they're fueling their communities, they're fueling their families, they're fueling, you know, so many things. And I know that there's just a ripple effect of what we're doing. So anything I do, you know, I really want to get involved in some more, you know, children's charities, especially maybe like inner city work at some point. You know, just anything I do, I want it to be just such a deep mentorship, deep impact, that that person's so deeply inspired, deeply transformed, that they're able to go and create that ripple effect. And I think that that's what will create the ultimate legacy.
That's great. I mean, that's the quality over quantity model where, and it's so perfect because it's like, you know, people worry about how many likes they get on Instagram, but it's that one person, like whenever you post that, I don't want to just say, oh yeah, like, you know, what Michelle said is, it's good, you know, it's all right. I can, you know, kind of see it, not really. No, you want to have, oh my God, this is, you know, remarkable. I never thought about this before. It put it in another light for me. Oh my God. I aspire to be the same way. You know, I'm a little younger than you, so I'm still, you know, my ego is still pretty high, and I'm like, oh my God, I gotta get all these likes. I gotta, you know,
get my followers. Like, don't let my super deep answer fool you. I'm like, oh, it's really? Like that's how this post is gonna perform? Really?
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, why can't I be, you know, brunette, have a nice body, and then be a girl? Like, I get be an Instagram model, get a million likes. Oh shit, that's funny. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, it's great. I mean, I love the vision too, because I'm trying to be the same as you, and I'm going to continue to, you know, check out your work. And if you had to really, you know, give some solid insight, you know, for general entrepreneurs, but specifically for women that are inspired to, you know, really build their own business like you have. You've done a lot of different things, and you've succeeded in all of them. And this is something that I definitely think, you know, women especially could take action on. Like, what would you really recommend to them to just grow and do it, you know?
Deal with your inner thoughts and your inner insecurities, because it will manifest in everything that you do. It will manifest in your relationships. It will manifest in business. But deal with them in such a way, like, just start to, like, I think that women, I think part of it is some societal programming. And but we just face things mentally a little bit differently, and on average. So I would say things that I've learned for myself is, one, to always remind myself, I am doing way better than I think I am. I am fiercely, ferociously, way more competent and capable than I think I am. And many times, if you really start to realize and internalize that, and you're able to take an objective look back at yourself to the best of your ability, and you're sitting in a meeting or you're sitting in a room, you'll start to realize, like, you have insights that no one else has. You might be the smartest person in the room, and you're not even letting yourself see it. Like, the greatest handicap you can do, the way you feel every day, has to do with the thoughts in your mind. To start taking complete ownership of it. I mean, this is all things I'm working on, so I'm like preaching to myself.
Likewise.
But take complete ownership of all of the thoughts. Realize that you are creating how you feel. Like, there is no situation in life that you are not creating the perception of how you feel about it. You choose how you feel about a certain situation or a certain event in your life. You make it mean something. So what do you want it to mean? And we'll start to get so much more power over your thoughts, over your anxieties, over your insecurities. And if you keep pushing forward towards that and keep growing towards that, you'll become a more whole version of yourself, and you'll start to become so unshakable that you'll be able to walk into anywhere with confidence, but you'll be able to take on things that you wouldn't even believe you'd be able to take on.
Yeah. And that's not just for women too. That's for all of us, you know? And that's amazing. I mean, it's your words to God's ears, hopefully, because this is, you know, it's been so valuable to have you on and really give, you know, and I don't even think about it like this, but you're my first female guest. And it's just that, like, I really just want to use this platform, not only for, you know, entrepreneurs in general, but to help out, you know, the minority of people that, you know, are really suffering in this country. And it's great that, you know, especially now with all the civil rights stuff going on, there's a lot of action. There's a lot of, you know, and a lot of people, like I was talking to my one friend who he's, you know, leans a little more right. And like I do, but still it's, you know, he's like, oh my God, like this, you know, all this, you know, civil unrest. But if you were in the same situation, I mean, how would you feel? I mean, I can understand it. The whole like business burning side of thing. I think that, you know, there definitely needs to be a better way that we could, you know, help with that. But still the energy and the passion is there. It's just, in my opinion, and many others, being released in not the best way with, you know, all that stuff that really isn't going to make a change, but the energy and passion is in the right place. And I think in 2020, I like to think of everything as, you know, a learning experience. So this pandemic, definitely we learned about, you know, wash your damn hands. You know, we need to treat people, you know, better and definitely have that, the whole system in place. The whole system is not perfect. Just like we as human beings, we're not going to be, you know, perfect. And so why do we expect the system to be? So we need to definitely reinvent that and update it for sure. But Michelle, it's been an amazing experience to talk to you. And I kind of just wanted to see what else you have going on, you know, if we could plug anything for you, where can people find you? Where can people connect you?
So I always recommend people to go to my Instagram. It's at the blonde fixer. So THEBLONDEFIXER. And you'll be able to see all of my content there and everything I'm up to.
That's awesome. I love the handle.
Thank you. I do too.
All right. Well, Michelle, it's a pleasure. I hope you all loved it. Comment below, subscribe, you know what to do, and we'll see you on the next one. Peace.